All right, what's going on, everyone? It's been a while since I've actually done anything for this channel. You know how it is. We're out here doing important things. So I guess welcome to my first podcast. My voice might fluctuate in between because I'll either be moving my microphone or, you know, sometimes I'll be further away, sometimes I'll be closer to it. But yeah, welcome to my first podcast. I don't have a title for it, so I think I'm just going to stick with calling it like the Untitled Project and then just like putting numbers after each episode or each entry. But yeah, it's been a while since I've uploaded. It's been a while since I've streamed. I kind of just fell off the face of the earth for a while there. So I guess I'll start with kind of catching everyone up on what I've been doing. So one of the biggest things that I recently have done is I went and wrote my first feature-length screenplay. This semester in college, I was taking a class called Basic Screenwriting or Introduction to Screenwriting. I forget the, you know, the official name for the class. But I took a screenwriting class. And our final assignment was to write a sequence A, and typically sequence A's are anywhere from 10 to 15 pages. And so our final assignment, which we already did, like I said, was to write a sequence A. But before the sequence A, we had had other assignments where we would build up to that. So one of the assignments we had was we had to write a scene which was about 2 to 3 pages where we have a protagonist, a clear protagonist, a clear antagonist, and we have to be able to identify what it is that the protagonist wants. And so I wrote my scene, and I made it about a bounty hunter who comes into this bar, cantina, call it whatever you will, and he wants information. And you have the clear antagonist. So I wrote it for the assignment, for that particular assignment, not for the final one. And afterwards, I was like, you know, I kind of like the way I wrote that. That felt very, it felt very Star Wars and Blade Runner in the same sense, but not ripping off either of them. And so I kind of sat on it for a while, turned in the assignment, and I went, you know what, I'm gonna try and make a screenplay out of this. So I started writing. Here we are a month later, and I'm now finished. The funny thing is I actually ended up writing that screenplay, and I want to say maybe 3 days. I didn't finish it in 3 days. The first 3 days, I wrote about 40 pages, and then I waited an entire month, and after that month, not an entire month, maybe like 21, 22 days, went back. Wrote the final 50 pages in about another 2 to 3 days, and then I hard stalled on the last 15 of the 90 pages of my screenplay. And it was more so because I was afraid to finish it. If you're a writer, you know how hard it is to do certain things to certain characters when you've been with them for so long. You build an attachment, and so like I've personally written short stories, and like, you know, I'm attempting to write, quote unquote attempting to write novels right now, and you get attached. But for some reason this one was different. I don't think I've ever been as attached to one of my story characters as I was to my screenplay character. And so I almost didn't want to finish it because I didn't want it to come to an end. Of course, I finally ended up finishing it. And here we are, I want to say about a week later after I finished. And I just got back earlier today from printing it. It is now a fully printed screenplay. I'm literally looking at it right now as we speak. It is 90 total pages. I went to Staples so I could get the binding washers, I don't know what they're called. Fasteners. I went and got a pack of 100 fasteners from Staples. And then I went to my local FedEx, Kinko's, whatever it's called, that prints and shit. And I went and I printed out $12 to print out 90 pages, which I feel like is a pretty good deal. But it feels weird. I'll be honest. It feels weird having something I've completed printed out in front of me. And of course, you know, with my screenplay class, my professor was telling me that, like, you know, don't expect your first screenplay to sell. And that's fine with me. You know, I've come to terms with the idea that, you know, not everyone's first screenplay is gonna make it big. But it's still pretty exciting, regardless, to have something that I've finished that is considered full length in one medium that I can look at, that I can hold, that I can give to other people if they want to read it. So that's probably the biggest thing I've been working on. Another thing I've been working on is I got a new job. I'm gonna skip this song. Give me a second. Another thing I've been working on is I got a new job. As most of you probably don't know, I used to work at Best Buy. Some of you do know that because I was at Best Buy. I started working at Best Buy June 2018. And I got contacted by Starbucks at a local Target near my house. Excuse me. And this is a month after I had applied for the position. They reached out to me and they asked if I still wanted the interview. And I was confused because I hadn't heard from them in a while. Give me one second. I was confused because, like I said, I had applied maybe a month before. And so I got the call and I was like, yeah, I'm definitely still interested. So I went in for the interview. And my first interview was with my now boss, and she's pretty cool. And it was definitely the first interview that I went in with a different mindset, because I was not getting any hours at Best Buy, so I went in wanting the job rather than having to go in. You know what I mean? And it's funny because, like, being on Twitch and being on some of the quote-unquote talk shows that I've been on, it's taught me to organically, because, like, what's it called, I was on Raj Patel. I was auditioning for Raj Patel one time, and that was probably one of the most eye-opening experiences with regards to interviews, because they interview you when you go in for to audition, and it was different, you know what I mean, because it was something I wanted to do. I wanted to get onto Raj Patel, and I caught their eye, and so I went into this interview and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna talk. You know, I'm not just going to go in and have it be a job interview. So I went in, she asked questions, and I was just like, I was slinging stories. It felt like, it was weird because, like, in the moment, I didn't notice. And then afterwards, I was like, yeah, I felt like that was pretty, it was like a 20-30 minute interview. Because, you know, and so, I mean, I guess you can pull from that in that, you know, if you ever get an interview, never go in and be very straightforward about your answers. You know what I mean? You don't want to go in and have it be, give me a time you've had to work with a team, and then you give like a really short, quick answer. You want to give them a story. You want them to be invested. And it's the same way with screenwriting when you go into pitch. You want the other party to be invested. And so that was a pretty good interview. And then on the spot, immediately, my boss was like, all right, I want you to come in for another interview. So they scheduled me for another interview later that week. Went in, same thing. It was with I don't know. I think it's LOD, leader on duty for Starbucks in the food cafe specifically. Went in, did the same thing, told stories, and he offered me the job on the spot. That is literally the first time I've ever been offered a job on the spot, and I was surprised, but you know, I was happy. So, you know, now I'm working at Starbucks, which is, it's great. The people I work with are just amazing. It was almost a culture shock in a sense that they were so welcoming straight off the bat. The very first day that I started working in the Starbucks section, I wasn't expecting many people to talk to me or for it to be as welcoming. They all were welcoming off the bat, and it was so like shocking. I keep saying shocking because I was surprised. My first day at Best Buy wasn't like that. My first day at the San Francisco State, actually my entire time at the San Francisco State bookstore was nothing like that. My time at Cardinal Health was nothing like that. And now I like to think we're all pretty good friends. I hope so. I mean, I haven't done anything to piss them off or like have a negative opinion towards me, but so that's what I've been doing. What else have I been doing? Trust me, this isn't just going to be a podcast about me. We're gonna talk about other things, but it's been a while since any of you have heard from me. So I'm gonna update you on what I've been up to, what I'm doing, what I have done. But yeah, I talked about the screenwriting, so that went pretty well. Finished that class with a B. Wasn't expecting any more, any less. And then I had another class this semester, which was an art history class. That one I was a little more worried about because I wasn't able to make it to maybe like 2 weeks of classes, 2-3 weeks of classes, and they meet twice a week. So I went in and my professor told me she was gonna have to drop me because I had missed so many times. She figured that by like the rule of the school, if you miss a certain amount of classes, you're technically missing too much of the curriculum of the course, and you technically can't pass. But I still had a pretty good grade in the class, and so she let me stay. Just came out of my final on Monday. I'm recording this as of Wednesday, May 22nd, and came out of that, and I got a better score on my final than I expected, so I've got to be in that class too, so woohoo. But I'm not taking any classes over the summer. I think I'm going to focus on work for a while, save up some money, and knocked out of the park, and then I'm going back to school in the fall to take some journalism classes, because I'm either debating majoring in journalism now or possibly just communications. I'm not going to do the film because film isn't as reliable of a major to fall back on if I can't get into the film industry. So we'll see. What else? Oh, I've got a short film in the works. I'm working on a short film. This is something that I've already written. This is something that is filmable. This isn't like a feature length film that's like, you know, a 90 page script or anything like that. This is a 12 page script, I believe, that I wrote about two weeks ago. And I'm hoping to film it soon. I don't think any of my friends are doing any summer classes, so they're probably the ones that I had in mind when I wrote it. If you want to read it, let me know in the comments. Same with the first feature length script. If you guys want to read anything that I've mentioned in this podcast so far, or you know, talking so far, catch up, let me know and I can send you a link. So yeah, short film in the works. Keep an eye on that. Haven't started shooting yet. I already wrote the script. I might need to storyboard. I don't think I will though, because I feel like a script is a pretty good storyboard in of itself. So I finished my first script, and now I'm working on two more. I immediately went into starting work on new scripts. One is a TV show, and one is a movie, because I did a poll on my Instagram. And everyone asked me, or I asked everyone, whether my next script should be a movie or a TV show. And there was a majority vote for TV shows. However, the idea I had for a TV show, it's not that it couldn't work, it's that I couldn't work out the logistics of the in-between, because it was going to be a detective idea. Obviously inspired by True Detective, because I just finished watching True Detective. But that one's on hiatus, so I decided to swap that TV show script out for instead a prequel to my first feature-length script So my first feature-length script, I don't think I mentioned the title yet. My first feature-length script is The Compass Rose. And it is a science fiction drama thriller following our main character, Amasius. And this is the summary that I've written and decided to settle on. It's when a poor contract killer kills a high-ranking individual in a secret organization and must survive attempts on his life while attempting to figure out exactly what it is that he's gotten involved in. And so that's the summary of that. So my TV show idea, my TV show script that I'm doing right now, the pilot, is a prequel to this. I won't say why. If you want to read the script of my feature length, feel free. And then I can fill you in on what the prequel is. And then my movie script is a detective idea, but it's sci-fi rather than, you know, realistic, like True Detective or set during modern times, because, you know, I feel like I know how to write best fantasy and sci-fi, so I wasn't going to try and... It's not that I don't want to do the research. I feel like that's a lot of research, though, in order to make it, like, accurate to the process of being a detective in modern times. So... those are the scripts I'm working on now. So technically three, but one's on hiatus that I don't think I'm going to go back to. So there's that. What else? A couple more things about what I've got going on before I, you know, go into the topics that I want to talk about for, this podcast. Oh, I recently purchased my very first 1/6 scale. Yeah, 1/6 scale figure. And it is a Jyn Erso Hot Toys figure, deluxe edition. So I managed to spot that on eBay for extremely cheaper than what her actual resale price is. Initially, she retailed... her retail price was, I think it's $250, and she sold out about 2 years ago, and her resale price is anywhere upward of $400. I got it for $300, and that is the start of my 1/6 scale figure collection. I've got another one coming up in June, which is, I want to believe it's either, I think it's 3-0s, 3-0s Dana Scully. That's on payment plan for Sideshow, and then after that, in a couple months, I have a 1/6 scale figure coming in from Sideshow themselves. It's a part of their Mythos series for Star Wars. It is the Mythos Boba Fett. I'll go ahead and throw up pictures of the figures on the screen when I mention them, so you have an idea of what I'm talking about. So those are coming in. I'm also going to the Game of Thrones in concert experience for a third year in a row in October with my dad. It's going to be in San Francisco, so that's going to be fun. You know, 3 years in a row. We'll talk about the show in a bit, but yeah. And other than that, I don't think there's really much else that I'm up to. I've got my eye on another thing that I want to buy in the coming future, but that's still in uncertain. It is a... limited edition Game of Thrones hardcover reprint by a company called Something Folio. I'll go ahead and throw up their page on the screen just now when I mentioned them. But they're gonna do, I asked personally and they replied, and they're doing the entire series. So I usually tend to miss out on these pretty awesome limited editions of the books, but I told myself this wasn't one I was going to miss out on this time. The first book they're obviously doing is a Game of Thrones. It's cut into two volumes, I'm assuming for the sake of the binding of the book, which I'm totally fine with. And then it comes with a smaller book that is a map of the known world. I'll go ahead and throw up an image of what that set looks like. It's coming at, I think, $195. It's pretty pricey, but for the price that you're paying, you get pretty quality stuff. They do a lot of other prints too, so you can pre-order right now if any of you are also interested. I'll go ahead and put a link in the description. And I believe they come out in July, and the cutoff period for pre-orders is, I want to say, early July. So you still got some time. Go mow some lawns. Maybe you can pick it up too. And other than that, I think that's pretty much it for, you know, this segment of catching you up on what I've been doing lately. Now onto the good stuff. So I've got, let's count here. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. No, I've got 10 topics lined up. Oh man, this is going to be interesting. It's kind of just also, catch up or make up for some of the news from the past few weeks or, you know, month, 2 months that I've missed. So the first thing I want to talk about is, Black Mirror. Black Mirror is finally coming back. I don't know if any of you, well, you guys probably know, but back in December, Netflix finally released this Black Mirror interactive movie that they've been teasing for a while and that there have been rumors about. You know, it's a choose your own adventure movie. And in December, they finally came out with it. And so people figured that, because Bandersnatch, that's the name of the movie, had just come out, that we were going to see a Black Mirror season 5 announcement. And Netflix went radio silent on Black Mirror for a decent amount of time, until within the last week or 2 weeks, they finally came out with a trailer. So let's see here. Let's pull up some information on this. So it's set to debut on June 5th, and it's got stars like Miley Cyrus, Anthony Mackie, Topher Grace, Andrew Scott, and Palm Clemente, if I don't know how to pronounce that name. So yeah, we finally get season 5. It's been a while since we got a full season. However, the downside to this is that this season is only going to be 3 episodes. In the trailer, it is stated that we will be following 3 new adventures. However, that's it. I'm a little conflicted about it. I know a lot of other people are pretty conflicted about it, in that, you know, we've kind of waited a long time and we only get 3 episodes. But Black Mirror, I trust Black Mirror. Some of their seasons have always been relatively short. Some of them are a little longer than usual. But this one's only coming out to be 3 episodes, which is a little unfortunate, because Black Mirror has always just been kind of one of those TV shows where it leaves you in awe. You're kind of just like, holy shit, what the hell just happened? So yeah, there's not really much else to talk about with regards to Black Mirror. If you want to watch it, I'll go ahead and include a link in the description for you to go watch the trailer, or I can try and maybe put like a card up on the screen that'll take you to the video. So the next thing I want to talk about is regarding Batman. It was recently revealed that Robert Pattinson is being vied as the choice for the next Batman. Now if you guys don't know who Robert Pattinson is, and I don't know who doesn't know who Robert Pattinson is, but if you don't know who he is, he's an actor, and he's most infamously known for his role in the film series Twilight. And it recently came out that he is the top choice for the next Batman, now that Ben Affleck is not coming back. And this is for Matt Reeves' interpretation of Batman. There's been a lot of conflict about this choice. News came out, I want to say, about a week ago. And initially, I was kind of suspicious about it, because I saw news of it on Twitter. And I was like, really? And then I thought to myself, well, people felt this way about Joaquin Phoenix's Joker. And then trailers started coming out, and suddenly everyone was a Joaquin Phoenix believer. Me, myself, I've believed that Joaquin Phoenix was going to be able to pull this off since the start. So But initially, I was pretty suspicious of the fact that they chose Robert Pattinson. And then I remember back to High Life. And High Life is his most recent movie from A24 and Claire Denis. It's a fantastic movie. But I want to say there's been more conflict about Robert Pattinson's potential of being the Batman, in that people are creating petitions rather than rallying behind one petition, like with the Game of Thrones scenario. There are a number of petitions that are trying to stop Robert Pattinson from being the Batman. And to those people, I say, maybe do a little more research. I don't want to be like super aggressive and be like, you're fucking stupid. Like, what? You don't know anything about Robert Pattinson. Or, you know, he's a great actor. I mean, he is a great actor. I just don't think it's fair to hang a set of movies over an actor's head that they did over 10 years ago. Like, yeah, maybe back then, right after the movies came out, that would be a little iffy. And I'd be probably more leaning towards the side of, yeah, no, we're not going to do that. We shouldn't do that. But if you look at his portfolio now, I mean, it's just, he's proven himself time and again to be able to handle such such increasingly like powerful roles. Like I was saying, specifically High Life. That was a fantastic movie by Claire Denis. I highly recommend you watch it if you haven't watched it yet. It's by A24, like I said. It's a very cerebral experience. He's going to be in the upcoming movie The Lighthouse by Robert Eggers with Willem Dafoe. And I mean, that movie alone, I'm pretty excited for that, because I mean, it's Robert Eggers. Robert Eggers is the guy that directed The Witch, and The Witch was fantastic. Like, that was fantastic horror. Another one that I've heard that he's amazing in is Good Time. What else? There's a couple of other movies in his portfolio that I haven't watched personally that people say that he's like, he's fantastic in. But the one that I hear the most is Good Time. I thought he was pretty great in High Life. I think that he definitely deserves a shot. And I feel like this is we're going through the rounds again. You know, every Batman gets their equal amount of shit, equal amount of flack, and people doubt them. No one thinks they're gonna do good. And then they finally appear in costume, and then people go, wait, hang on a second. Or they question it from the start. Let me skip this song. I feel like this has always been the case with every single Batman, and the same with every single Joker. Before Heath Ledger, everyone thought Jack Nicholson was the best Joker and that no one could ever top it. Now that Heath Ledger came along, no one thinks that anyone can ever top Heath Ledger. And now that Joaquin Phoenix is in the run, people are like, okay, wait, there might actually be potential for Joaquin Phoenix to make a mark and be like the next best, you know what I mean? The next one to go down in history, unlike Jared Leto, which, you know, he kind of tried too hard. And I feel like it was the same from what I heard. People initially thought that Michael Keaton wasn't going to be a good Batman. And look at how that turned out. People consider Michael Keaton like one of the best Batmans in the world. So I feel like it's a little preemptive to assume that Robert Pattinson isn't going to do a good job. I would say let's wait for a couple of trailers. I personally have hope, but for the people who don't think that he's going to do good, I think that, you know, just wait and see rather than jumping to conclusions. So the next topic I want to talk about is the Game of Thrones finale. Yeah, I could have put this one off to the end, but I decided not to. The Game of Thrones finale. Man, there's so much to say about the Game of Thrones finale. Where do I even begin? This episode, more specifically the season, has been a very big shit show, to say the least. This season has been, for lack of a better word, disappointing. But the season finale was just something that cannot be forgiven. The season finale. I'll go ahead and be up forward about this. I was one of the people who criticized season 8 from episode 3, the Battle of Winterfell. And throughout the season, people like me were being made fun of and were being scrutinized for being quote unquote so critical of the show. And that this has all been foreshadowed since the beginning, specifically with episode 5. And even with episode 3. But episode 6. Boy, what a way to end one of the greatest shows of all time on such a low note and to leave such a sour taste in so many people's mouths. After episode 6, I don't think I've ever seen so many people turn from defending to now attacking the thing that they once defended. Kind of like Daenerys with the people of King's Landing. But never mind about that. My parents were probably the biggest example of that, in that they had defended the shit out of the show throughout the season. And whenever I would criticize it, they would call me crazy and that, no, it was good anyways. And then they saw the finale and they finally understood what I was saying. The finale is beyond rushed. And I watched Jeremy Johns's review of the season finale and he summarized it perfectly. This is the longest episode with the shortest script. If you haven't seen it yet, this is your spoiler warning. I will probably include a timestamp right here or like somewhere in the description where you can skip the spoilers. I'll give you 3 seconds. 3, 2, 1. The first 30 minutes are dedicated to the aftermath of Daenerys destroying King's Landing. I want to say maybe the first 30-45 minutes. And then Jon kills her. It was extremely rushed. She's on this tirade and Jon walks in as she's about to sit on the Iron Throne and he kills her. Just like that. And then Drogon shows up, melts the Iron Throne somehow. For some reason he knew to melt the Iron Throne, and then picks up Daenerys and flies away. And then the rest of the show, the rest of the episode, is dedicated to quote-unquote tying loose ends and providing nothing but mere fan service. I don't know how they dragged out this episode to an hour 30. I genuinely don't. It definitely felt like there were so many things that didn't need to be said, but were being said anyways. And so then the ending. The ending. George R. Martin, author of the series of A Song of Ice and Fire, has told us time and again that we are going to get a bittersweet ending for the series, for the book series. And that it was going to be something similar on the scale of the Scouring of the Shire. I've never read the books, Lord of the Rings, but from what I understand, the Scouring of the Shire is that despite the fact that Sauron has been defeated, the hobbits of wherever they live, I don't remember the name of the town, still have to deal with Saruman. And that because Sauron's gone, not all evil is gone. There's still an aftermath to deal with. However, the ending of Game of Thrones had no Scouring of the Shire moment. Oh, that's the name of the town, the Shire. I'm so dumb. There was no Scouring of the Shire moment. The Night King was killed in episode 3, and there is no suggestion that the White Walkers still exist. And everyone gets a happy ending. Literally everyone, including Daenerys. Despite the fact that Daenerys dies, she's killed. In a sense, you can think of it as a happy ending in that Jon prevented her from living the life of a tyrannical, mad Targaryen like her father. And so she gets a happy ending in that she doesn't get to watch herself descend into that pit of hell. John gets a happy ending. He is sent to the wall, despite being the only Targaryen left and the only rightful heir to the throne. Not to mention, how do they even know Daenerys is dead? So they send him to the wall because he killed her, even though they technically don't know how she's died. She's dead because Drogon took her body and flew off. Arya decides to get a fleet of ships and sail west to where, quote unquote, the maps end, to see what she can find. She's probably going to end up turning up dead. So there's that. But she gets the happy ending in that she gets to do what she wants, despite training for about 2 seasons to be a faceless, to be the most skilled faceless assassin. Oh, right. I didn't finish John's arc. John is sent to the wall. He's actually sent to the Night's Watch, which doesn't make sense because there's nothing beyond the wall to watch now, and the Wildlings are on good terms with everyone south of the wall. And so he gets to the wall. No one should be there, but Tormund is waiting for him, which doesn't make sense because Tormund figured that Jon was never going to return. And then he rides north of the wall to become king beyond the wall with the Wildlings. He doesn't even serve out his sentence in the Night's Watch, which is a happy ending because his true heritage is with the people of the North. And obviously he can't live with the people of the North because he's sent to the Night's Watch. But the Wildlings aren't going to snitch on him. They're not going to be like, hey, Jon didn't serve out his sentence on the Night's Watch. He's coming to live with us instead. So he gets a happy ending. Sansa separates the North from the Seven Kingdoms. It's now its own kingdom. Bran becomes king, and yeah, it's all just happy ending. There's no bittersweetness to it. It was a disappointment, and it took this episode for my parents to realize that I'd been right in my complaining the entire time, and that it was all for nothing. 8 years led up to this, and we waited 2 years for this final season. And what adds more to the wound is that Dan and Dave, the showrunners and the writers, were offered more seasons. They were offered more episodes by HBO, and they declined. And Martin himself has said before that he feels like the show should probably go to season 10 or season 11. And that would be ideal to completely and fully realize the story of A Song of Ice and Fire. And they did not listen. And so this is what we're left with. We're left with the legacy of a show that was but probably one of the most famous shows of all time. And it ends on such a low note. And all because Dan and Dave want to move on and go do Star Wars instead. So that is the tragedy of a Game of Thrones. I tried tying in a joke about the tragedy of Darth Plagueis the Wise, but you know, I'm not that smart. Yeah, I don't know. I feel pretty empty with that finale. I have dedicated so much time into watching the show and reading the books that I feel cheated almost, and a lot of my friends and family feel the same way. My dad is a casual viewer of the show, and the day after the finale, he came home from work, and he comes into my room and he goes, "What'd you think of the finale?" And I was like, "I didn't like it." And he's like, "That bullshit was," and he goes on this like total tangent about how he fucking hates how the show ended. And this is like such a telling moment because even the casual fans who aren't as invested in the series as much as like, say, someone like me is, they're still able to identify the fact that the show did not end how it was supposed to. This is not a Game of Thrones ending. And unfortunately, there's nothing we can do about it. I mean, there's the petition. I don't know how many signatures is that right now, but HBO is not going to care. It's over with. So, you know how it is. The only shows I have hope for now, or the only shows that I have hope left for, are Westworld and Better Call Saul. And Better Call Saul doesn't come back till next year, so there's that. So we are done with talking about Game of Thrones. Now on to, this kind of ties back into like catching you up on me almost, but it's also kind of like talking about the media that I'm consuming rather than what I'm being involved with, like in terms of what I'm doing personally with regards to my own work. This is just, I'm just going to talk about some of the books that I'm reading right now. So recently I picked up, or I didn't pick up, I've had this book for a while, but I've never actually read it or finished it. I'm reading 11-22-63 by Stephen King. I watched a TV show on Hulu. Great show. Right now I'm about 200 pages into the book. And there's so many differences. And I love the book. The book is so good. So there's that. I'm reading A Shadow in Summer by Daniel Abraham. I'm rereading it because I made it almost to the end of the book. And then I stopped for like 3-4 months. So I'm restarting that. Hopefully I end up finishing that soon. I recently have been getting back into comics again. I'm picking up a few Walking Dead issues here and there. In July, there's a edition of Monstrous that comes out. That is a volume one. That's about 500 pages of issues 1-18, I believe. So I'm picking that up. I already have half that paid off at a local comics shop in my town. And those are really the only comics that I have too many things that I need to finish before I want to get more involved. I actually have a list, I think, of things I need to finish. Let's see here. Yeah, books to read / finish. 11-22-63 by Stephen King. Dune by Frank Herbert. Herbert, same thing. Lost Gods, which is another book that I picked up years ago. From Hell by Alan Moore. Monstrous by Marjorie Liu. The Dagger and Coin series, which I want to start. I haven't started it yet. And The Long Price Quartet, which is what A Shadow in Summer is about, or a part of. So I have a lot of stuff I need to catch up on. And actually, I think I have a list of comics, actually. Oh, yeah, here we go. That was books. That wasn't all comics. Comics need to read. Finish Monstrous, then collect. Start collecting up on Oblivion Song, which is another Image series. Collect Saga. I want to get the Saga books that are on Amazon that are like $40, $30 each. I want to start reading Saga. Witches, which is like a limited like 14 edition series. It's supposed to be really scary, so I'm going to probably pick up on that soon. Another series called Paper Girls, which is another Image series. And then there was a comic in a catalog that I read about called Invisible Kingdom. I think they're maybe on like their fifth issue. It's still pretty brand new and it sounds pretty interesting. So those are really all the books I'm reading. I'm starting to reread A Song of Ice and Fire again. I just started reading A Game of Thrones last night. So that's everything we're reading, or I'm reading. I can include links to everything I'm reading in the description if you feel so inclined to read along with me. Let's talk about John Wick. John Wick 3. I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard a lot of things about John Wick 3. For those of you who don't know, John Wick is a movie series following the character John Wick. And he's a retired hitman, a part of a very secret organization almost. And he gets brought back into the life after his wife and dog are killed. And so the movies follow him as he is pulled back into this life that he once got out of. And yeah. The third one came out, and I've heard a lot of good things about the third one. However, the biggest thing that is headlining for John Wick 3 is the fact that John Wick 3 in its first week has made more money than John Wick 1 ever did in its entire run, and John Wick 2 ever did in its entire run. And John Wick 3 made, I believe it's $55 million in its first week, opening week, which is massive because John Wick 1, oh, and their budget was $55 million. So John Wick 1 had a budget of $20 million, made $40 million. John Wick 2 had a budget of $40 million and made $80 million, I believe. And that's in overall runs. And then John Wick 3 just started, had a budget of $55 million, and they made $55 million in their first week. And so that's pretty big. And another thing about John Wick is the fact that I don't know which production company or who is distributing John Wick, but they've already announced that John Wick 4 is coming, and it's going to be coming in the beginning part of 2021. So there's that. Go watch John Wick if you haven't seen it. I haven't seen it, but I've been a pretty big fan of John Wick since the start. So it would be illegal for me to not go and watch it. So I'm planning on watching it sometime soon, maybe today actually, once I finish filming this. Who knows? We'll see. And then we can talk about it next week in my next podcast. What else is there to talk about? The Lighthouse. There isn't much to be said about The Lighthouse. I was talking about it earlier when I was talking about the whole situation with Robert Pattinson being talked about for the next Batman. It premiered at Cannes this year. Cannes 2019. It's going on right now. I think it might still be going on. I'm not entirely sure. I don't follow Cannes much, but this year it's caught my attention because The Lighthouse premiered at Cannes, and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood premiered at Cannes. So, like I said about The Lighthouse, there's not much to talk about since reviews have come out, but people obviously can't say anything. They can't say too much about it. It's supposed to be a horror movie. It's definitely one of my most anticipated movies of the next year. There's no like official release date for when it comes out. I want to say late 2019, most realistically probably early 2020. Guess we'll see. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, though. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is Tarantino's next movie. It's his ninth film. And if what he says is true, after Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, he only has one more movie and then he's done. Because he's said before, he only wants to do 10 movies in his career and then he wants to stop. But Once Upon a Time in Hollywood premiered at Cannes this year. And there's a lot of good reviews coming out about it. People are saying a lot of good things. However, I read a review where someone felt as though critics were going to be conflicted. But from what I've seen, it's gotten nothing but just praise from people who've seen it at Cannes. And I read that Once Upon a Time received a 6-minute standing ovation after it had finished. There was a standing ovation when they were presenting Leonardo DiCaprio and Brad Pitt and Tarantino before the movie started and before the movie screened. And then there was a 6-minute standing ovation after the movie screened. So I'm really excited for that. I mean, it's a Tarantino, so I'm inherently excited because it's a Tarantino. But now I'm even more excited at the fact that there was a 6-minute standing ovation. People have talked about how there's a clever tie-in to how the Manson murders play a role in the movie, but that it's not focused. Because, I mean, I remember when word first got out that the Manson murders were going to play a role in the film, and people were, like, criticizing and saying, like, that's untasteful, blah, blah, blah. But people are saying that there is a connection, but it's not centrally focused around the Manson murders. Personally, I don't care. It makes sense as to why. I wouldn't be surprised, or what I'm saying is that I wouldn't be surprised if Tarantino made a movie focused around the Manson murders. That's definitely something within his portfolio that I could see as being like a potential. But yeah, a lot of good things are coming out about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, so I'm really looking forward to that when that comes out in August, I believe. And I think that's pretty much it. Those are all the topics I had. I'm not gonna lie. That was nine. That was nine topics, but the 10th one I wrote, talk about cans in general. And I didn't do, the funny thing is I actually didn't do enough research for this podcast. So this podcast is like pretty experimental in how I want to approach doing it. Because last night I was writing down, I had the idea of starting a podcast. And I started writing down like topic ideas. And then I thought to myself like, oh, I can pull up the links on my computer for what I want to talk about. And then like I can kind of like, you know, read off the articles and then kind of get my 2 cents. No, I didn't do any of that. The entire time I was like on my phone trying to pull up the articles as quickly as I could without making it seem like there was a too long of a pause in me speaking. So I guess this is a forewarning for myself almost to be more prepared next time. That way I have actual topics rather than just going off what I know, and so that I can talk more like, because specifically with like the talk about cans in general, that would have been great to have a lot of like links pulled up to talk about the different films that premiered, you know, the who is the panel of judges this year, things like that. That would have been good to know. So now we can't talk about that. And then like it would have been good to know more about the opinions of people who saw The Lighthouse, read more reviews about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. So yeah, that's pretty much it. This is my first pod. This is the episode one of the Untitled Project. I hope you enjoyed it. I may or may not post this on like a podcast website or something. I doubt I can get this on Spotify because I don't think Spotify does that. I think you have to be like a pretty established podcaster or have like a pretty big following before you can get your podcast on Spotify. So I'll probably post it on some website. I know that A24 posts their podcasts on a podcast website, and I was looking at that a few months ago actually when I was listening to their podcast, because it looks good for if you're starting your own podcast rather than you know, just getting it on YouTube, because the more you diversify your portfolio, the more people you reach out to, right? So, like I said, episode one of the Untitled Project. Let me know what you think in the comments. My social media links will probably be in the description if you want to follow me there, where I don't know, post about my happenings regarding script writing, post my opinions about other things like on Twitter, or, you know, you don't have to, is what I'm saying. You can if you want, it's an option, but you don't got to. Anyways, thanks for watching. I hope you enjoyed this. Like I said, leave feedback in the comments for what you think I could do better, what you think was good, what I can take out, so and so. And I will maybe see you next time. We'll see how this does. If you guys really like this, I'll keep it going. All right, see you guys later. Peace.